probably like gave the number out from like the work like yep. like contact list or whatever.
That is one way that they get them, but they just spy numbers. Like you can you're on lists whether you try to remove yourself from them all. You probably can anyway, but when you try to remove yourself from any of them, you're just gonna be on six more. It's like fucking trying to kill a mosquito.
Whack-a-mole.
It's like going outside, get bit by a mosquito, and then swearing vengeance upon mosquitoes and spending the rest of your life slapping yourself. You know, I mean, it's just not gonna, it's not gonna fucking work.
Welcome back to the Trilateral Troika. This is Steve, along with the other Steve.
Hello.
And Ryan.
That was awful. 2025 is cooked already. First death from bird flu reported today, a couple hours ago.
Yep. And my whole family's, like, sick back home.
There is already people on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok talking about testing and not to get tested because that's how they know you got... I'm already going to have an aneurysm. I don't think my mental health will survive another pandemic.
I just, dude, I don't know if the country will. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous how we acted. And I think it's only gotten worse, you know?
Yeah. It's, yeah, because, so according to the Louisiana...
Because they've been emboldened by politicians, so...
Yeah, but according to, like, the actual people that, like, checked it out, they were like, there was no... evidence of any sort of like person-to-person transmission. Dude got it because he was fucking around with birds in his backyard and like
that's good.
Out in the wild and shit like that. But there's already people like fanning the flames. And if you type that into Google, bro, there's just fear-mongering articles everywhere. And I'm just like, I hate this. I hate it all.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Apparently, it's been going around in the dairy industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they took Walmart and Publix took all their eggs down today in Florida. All of them. There's no eggs.
Because they were talking about the process by which they pasteurized the milk, and apparently they just, like, put milk from everywhere just in a giant vat and then pasteurize it. Like, they don't pasteurize by, like, from the location. They just pour it all into, like, a giant, like, container.
Right.
And just do it all. So they had to, like, do, like, extra steps just to figure out, like, where it was coming from.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fun times.
But hey, listen, gotta make sure you gotta make that money, man. Yeah. Gotta
true.
Increase company value.
Yeah, I mean, the generation that's currently in charge of the milk, listen to Rock Superstar by Cypress Hill. You know, save your money, man. Save your money, too. Hit single only lasts so long. There will be another cat come out looking like me, sounding like me. I know this.
And Steve, who is the other cat now that we're here?
So you wanna be a rock superstar? And live large.
Just gonna let Steve do the whole
I will. I know the entire fucking song, dude. I will. I'll do it. It'll be like Napoleon Dynamite / Michael Scott doing an entire episode of Law and Order. You know?
How's this that can be your outro today?
Yeah.
We can get Peter Frampton's orchestra to play for you.
My mother-in-law just said she saw Frampton on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I was like, wow, Frampton comes still alive.
He's not dead?
That's what I said. I said, Frampton's alive? I guess Frampton did come alive.
Jesus.
Frampton only comes alive, bro. He never said when he died.
Because this isn't...
Oh, I just got the WOTV story about the...
I was going to say, isn't Cat Stevens, or is it Yousef Islam?
Yeah, Yousef Islam. Now?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yousef al-Islam or something. Is Cat Stevens alive? I don't know.
I think Cat Stevens died, didn't he?
I'm going to say Yousef al-Islam, but it's easier to search for Cat Stevens, so I'm going to do that.
I think he's just like one of those like old like guys from like the 70s and 80s who wasn't like...
Yeah, he's alive. 76.
Yeah. Too crazy and just like saved up their money and just lives like a quiet life now.
Cats in the cradle in the sea. Yeah, dude. Yeah, he's still alive. 76.
That was Harry Chapin.
What?
Cats in the Cradle.
I thought Cat Stevens did a rendition of that as well.
He might have, but it's originally...
Everyone thinks that, but yeah, Cat Stevens did a... I think we had this discussion before, didn't we?
We probably have.
Yeah. Harry Chapin made the song. But he covered it. Apparently, It's one of those, like, what is it called again? When you have the thing that didn't happen, the Mandela thing, Mandela effect?
Yeah, the Mandela
effect. Yeah, apparently it's a Mandela effect. Nobody's really quite sure why. I did the exact same thing, dude, so don't feel bad about it. Like, and I'm a music guy, and I'm like, really? I didn't know that shit.
Oh, you know what? I'll tell you exactly why that happened. Because back in, like, the 90s, maybe even the early 2000s, they had those, like, CD sets that they would sell, like Pure Moods kind of shit, and there was one for folk songs, and that's why I think I know Cat Stevens as the guy who sang the Man.
It is possible. There's a Quora article saying that there was an error on search engines that consistently show a picture of Cat Stevens over a recording of Cats in the Cradle. Uh-huh. And apparently there's an album called London Collector Cat's Cradle Album, which has reissued hits by Cat Stevens on them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like something happened, but it's not a... he doesn't play the song. He's never recorded the song. It's really weird. I don't know. You know what's funny about it, too, is it's so persistent of a myth that I actually printed the sheet music out for it, like, a long time ago to play on the piano. And it says Cat Stevens on the fucking sheet music.
That's wild.
Like some dude who transcribed it and made the sheet music just wrote Cat Stevens in there. Anyway, speaking of...
is also crazy.
Speaking of Yousef al Islam, who are we talking about today? Look, we're not making fun of Islam and people who convert to Islam. We're just saying that he's Cat Stevens. That's all we're saying.
Yeah, we're not like... I'm not
trying to dead name him. You know, I'm saying...
Yeah, the Muslim version of like dead naming someone is just that like... I was never, one, a big Cat Stevens fan, and two, it just happened all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he was Cat Stevens for like 20-some years of my life, and then he converted to Islam, and he's like, yeah, this is my name now.
Well, we can't even bitch about it because, you know, how can I even have the conversation when it's not like people are going, oh, Cats in the Cradle? Yeah, that's by Yousef al-Islam. Like, nobody's done that.
He goes by Cat Stevens. He goes by his stage name, so.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, he goes by.
Oh, okay, we're good then. We're not doing anything good. Yeah. Fuck him anyway. All right, good. I don't give a fuck about it.
2025.
Fuck that guy. Now, hell of a musician, though.
What else is weird?
Just keep it going.
Who's another guy that I could say fuck this guy to, Steve?
You think Cat Steven had
probably
bird
will
flu?
Be saying it by the end, but we're going to talk about the Gulf Breeze UFO sightings.
Again? No, I'm just kidding.
Don't you do that, Steve. Don't make me think that we already did an episode on this.
Yeah. You said the Gulf Stream plane sightings, right?
Yeah, Steve.
No, the Gulf Breeze.
Summer Breeze. But, isn't that Cat Stevens?
Oh, my God.
No, that's Christopher Cross. So, on November 11th, a resident of Gulf Breeze, Florida, which is over by Pensacola, I think technically it is part of Pensacola now.
I don't know how shit works over there, that fucking peninsula.
But on November 11th, 1987, one Ed Walters, a contractor, was allegedly immobilized briefly by a quote-unquote a blue beam. After which he would take 5 Polaroid photos of an object in the sky outside his home. But he claims that he was immobilized by this blue beam. He reported that the object would hover about 200 feet above the ground and described it as being, quote-unquote, right out of a Spielberg movie.
You know, I've been immobilized by blue beam before because there's this fucking PDF software called blue beam, and it's used by all the architectural companies I do IT support for. And my God, dude, shit's always like, oh, you got to install an update and I can't go anywhere. I'm stuck in my chair updating this piece of shit software. And they're like, why doesn't it run well on terminal server? Well, it was fucking designed for a PC, asshole.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't run, like, architectural drawings. Dude, I'll give you, it's like a conundrum. I know why, but it's hard to explain. But, like, someone can send you, like, a 97 kilobyte PDF, right? And it's an architectural, like, map. And if you load that on your gaming computer, you will scroll slowly. Like, it's not even big. And it's like, if you don't have a goddamn, like, Quattro whatever Infinity card from NVIDIA, like the big 3D rendering or like CAD cards. If you don't have one of those, it just won't load fast. And I've tried everything. Like, I tried all kinds of different viewers. Fucking weird, man. Anyway, I know that has a lot to do with what we're talking about tonight, the Gulf Breeze UFO sightings and Cat Stevens' involvement.
He claims that he made multiple visits to where the UFO was and recorded videotape and took 32 photographs of the object.
That's a lot of photos, but, you know. What year was this?
1987.
Yeah, 87. He was using a Pentax or something. Like, what do you have when he's taking photos?
Well, what kills me is that they say that he took video of this thing.
Yeah, so this guy had fucking handy cams.
Look, here's the deal. I'm going to set the scene right now. If you've never seen this, the pictures, right? It looks like a floating Crown Royal cap. Okay? It looks like the cap off of a fucking Crown Royal bottle just floating in the air. That's what it looks like. Okay? But here's the deal. They said that he took video of this. Remember that the year is 1987. Think about, and he's like a regular dude, right? He's just a guy. So the video camera must have been one of them gigantic fucking video cameras that you put like the whole VHS tape in.
Nah, dude, it was worse. It was like a reel-to-reel. Like,
he had a Super 8.
Some guy was going over. He had a Super 8 camera with the little gun handle on it.
he had to like suit up with the camera like it was the proton packs from Ghostbusters. So he claims that he has these and that he also reported that the craft would land on Soundside Drive, which was the road that he lived on, and deposit quote unquote five aliens on the road. He stated that one of the aliens stared into his window, at which point the aliens communicated with him in English and Spanish via telepathy and presented him with a book showing pictures of dogs.
I mean, okay.
I mean, dogs are pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I like dogs.
That's how the aliens could kidnap me. Show me a picture of a dog, be like, hey, come with us. We got dogs.
Oh my God, we got this great dog over here. We just found him. He's
barking. Get me off this fucking rock.
You know, we just kind of went through this in my personal life this weekend because someone my family found a stray dog that followed them home, and now that's going to be their problem. But like, just the idea that like there was a nudge to get me involved with my wife, and it's like, fuck that.
Yeah.
You know, like we're not getting involved again. I've been through it too many times now. You know. So I don't know. I might be wary about aliens being like, hey, we got this dog in here. And be like, listen, buddy, I've been around the block. Why don't you go down to high school?
Maybe they were like, I wonder what type of dogs they were looking for. You know, it wasn't that they had dogs. They wanted to get a dog. Like, either some weird, like...
Yeah, like, do you have a, like, designer you have a sharp breed, poodle? Like,
yeah. Or those really screwed up like pit bulls.
Yeah, the fucking what is it? Smashed and slammed.
Yeah, right? Smashed and slammed.
You just say what are we talking about? What are we talking about?
I'm gonna ask Waffle House.
We talking about Waffle House hash brown smashed and slammed?
No, they're these like incredibly inbred like
toad.
Like,
they're called toad. They're called toad line dogs. Thanks, babe.
Yeah. they look like the Hound of Gozer.
Trust me, she's very excited that I just asked about that. I guarantee you.
Toad line. Oh my god.
Toad line.
Oh, those are. I think those are called bullies, aren't they?
No, they're fucked up pit bulls. These are really, really bad. Bullies is just a generic term.
Because in the UK, they call like the American pit bull like an XL bully.
Yeah.
Because they have that ban, like they all got banned or whatever in the UK, and people were going insane about it. He reported that a blue beam of light caused him to be lifted 3 feet off the ground. To quote him, "Bang! Something hit me all over my body. I tried to lift my arms. I couldn't move them. They were blue. I was blue. Everything was blue.
I was in a blue da ba dee da da. Blue is now on the outside, and I'm stuck in this ship."
I was trying to breathe, but my chest wouldn't expand. My feet lifted off the floor. A voice groaned in my head, "We will not harm you." I screamed. The voice said, "Calm down." I screamed, "Put me down." No control, just a piercing smell, a little scent of ammonia mixed with heavy cinnamon that scorched and then stuck to the back of my throat.
So, wait, wait, wait. What was that scent again? A little scent of ammonia with heavy cinnamon? So, he's in Starbucks.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's tripping balls. He's tripping balls in one of the OG Starbucks. And this guy's writing this out. He's like sitting there on his fucking MacBook One. And, you know.
They just cleaned the floor.
He brought his
spent the last like 2 hours setting up his laptop.
Yeah. God. He brought his Apple, his TRS-80s in there, with it, and right next to his Apple IIe. It took 14 people to set him up at the Starbucks, but by God, he's working remote.
He had to tell multiple people that it was not a word processor.
I'll RTO over my dead body.
He said a hum filled his head. Wham! I hit the ground. The blue light was gone. The hum was still in my head, but quickly decreased and was gone. He would state that the immobilization in the blue beam happened again on December 2nd, 1987.
Whoa. In the same spot?
I think somewhere else. I think because
this guy had a traumatic experience. This is what I never understand about these people, bro. I mean it. They have these traumatic experiences, right? And then they go back to it. Like, they just go right back to it. But, like, most people who have traumatic experiences don't want anything to do with the trauma, you know?
Right.
So it's...
This is all around his home. You know, these aliens are, like, harassing him at his residence, you know? they're coming.
It's just like the neighbors.
They're dogs. They're...
Yeah.
They're like the goddamn Mormons. They just
they just keep coming back. I don't understand. Where do they get those black pants and white shirts?
So check this out. I got a letter in the mailbox addressed to me and my roommate with a return address from these people. It was just a name. And I opened it up and read the letter that came in. It was a typed letter, right? Addressed, again, to me and my roommate. And it was, you know, very crisp, clean, 12-point font. Looked like a little essay. But it was a whole page talking about Jehovah and Jesus Christ and a little sticker at the bottom. And I was like, oh my God, they're not going door to door anymore. Now they're just mailing letters. Which then got me thinking, how the fuck did they get my whole name? Because I've never talked to them.
That's really easy. Like, it is easy.
Before my current job, I worked at a place. And one of the guys at my work was a Jehovah's Witness.
Mm-hmm.
And I got like a text message like that,
mm-hmm.
just like from an unknown number. And like, I 100% knew it was that guy who probably like gave the number out from like the work, like,
yep.
like contact list or whatever.
That is one way that they get them, but they just spy numbers. Like, you're on lists, whether you try to remove yourself from them all. You probably can anyway, but when you try to remove yourself from any of them, you're just going to be on six more. It's like fucking trying to kill a mosquito.
Whack-a-mole.
It's like going outside, get bit by a mosquito, and then swearing vengeance upon mosquitoes and spending the rest of your life slapping yourself. You know, I mean, it's not gonna fucking work. But, yeah. Weird. So anyway, so you're saying that Cat Stevens is Jehovah's Witness?
Yes, and I'm also saying Jehovah's Witnesses were piloting the floating Crown Royal cap.
That's awesome. That'd be so cool. You know what's funny about that, Ryan, is if they actually had that power, I would join.
They wouldn't even have to have that power. They could land outside of my street right the fuck now, and I'd be like, listen, you out of here? Take me with you? All right, let's go.
Yeah, no, I'm done.
Not even playing.
You got something going on here, and I like it, so let's go. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds better than here, whatever it is. I'm out.
Bro, you can land a spaceship on my street. Let's go. Bye. Have a nice day.
A second Joe Biden term? I'm not doing that. Let's go. Well, we have a little information for you. The asshole one. Speaking of that, by the way, what are we going to do with that guy? He's going to go to court and be sentenced before he becomes president. What is happening in this fucking country? The fucking judge in New York actually had some balls, and when it went to the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court, they basically said, no, he's going through with it. He's being sentenced. Trump.
Who? Oh, okay.
But not jail time.
That's good. Of course not.
Because it's a hush money case. I mean, it's not a, it's not that type of crime. But at the same time, it's like...
I would love to be like, hey, he's got probation, and he has to check in with his probation officer every time he leaves New York to go back to the White House.
Yeah, instead of the State of the Union, he has to check in with probation, tells the status.
The only president with a fucking ankle monitor.
Now, have you been looking for work?
Can you pee into this cup, please, sir?
No, I can't pee into the cup because I'm full of amphetamines.
You didn't call and check in.
Well, I would have, but I was busy shitting myself in France. Oh, what a fucking asshole.
God damn.
Now, Donnie, you told me you weren't going to be leaving the country, but why am I seeing you in France right now on CNN?
It's like, again, he's the type of person where if one of his supporters hung out with him for an hour, they would probably never want to support him again, you know, because the only one of the people that's only around, that's around him, like the people that are actually
joking,
in his orbit,
right?
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. The people that are actually in his orbit want to be there. Like, they want to be there. But like the turds that are just voting for him because he's a Republican, I mean, you go hang out with him for a day, you see if you really want to support him anymore.
Bro, these people worship the ground he walks on.
Some of them.
What do you mean?
Nah, some of them do. I don't think they all do that. I think that's more like the Chud people.
Well, one of the racist ones got a little upset with him recently.
So. Oh yeah, and the fucking and then like this whole like thing today with the because they certified him today because it's the anniversary. Mm-hmm. Pisses me off. Fucking no end. He's gonna let all those fucking schmucks that got prosecuted, he's gonna end up waiving all that, you know?
He's gonna pardon all of them that he can, but if I'm not mistaken, a lot of them have state charges too, so he can only do so much.
Yeah. Crazy.
On February 7th, 1988, Walters would allegedly photograph his wife attempting to outrun the blue beam.
Wait, there's a picture of his wife trying to outrun the beam?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I'm having trouble finding it.
He's lying to
one
us.
One of the pictures, because I think it's in the book.
Took too long to answer.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, have you with your own eyes seen that photo?
I don't even know if that's going to be an easy find. You know, it's from the early 80s. It's UFO phenomena shit.
I mean, everything else
late
you can
80s,
see.
Rather. Yeah, there's definitely some stuff you can't get. Like, there's definitely some stuff that's not online.
It's one of those things where, like, the picture doesn't, like, show anything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Now he's telling us that we shouldn't worry about that.
Don't
worry about this motherfucker.
So that there, those are some of the OG pictures, right? Those are some of the originals. Tell me it doesn't look like a bottle cap.
Let me see this shit. Hold on. I'm not in the chat. Hold on. I'm getting this shit. Yeah. Kind of looks like a thermostat. You know? Like the time my wife and I got home from her getting her, like, oil change or something, and we opened the hood to look at something, and her thermostat fell out. Because they didn't screw it back in or something. I don't know. That's what it looks like, though, to me. It kind of looks like that. The fuck's this one you just sent? Where? What is that guy holding? What is that called? The scope? What is that?
We'll get to that.
Okay. I can't remember what that's called.
We'll get to that. Walters would also claim to have communicated further with the aliens. He and his family also reported around 19 sightings or encounters over time. On May 1st, 1988, Walters reported feeling the alien presence while he was at Shoreline Park after midnight and saw the UFO and took a photo of it and then lost consciousness for an hour. He stated that the UFO had leaked some type of liquid that continued to boil even 19 days after he captured it.
Zoetrope.
19
That's what
days.
It is.
Walters would take his photographs of the purported UFOs to the Gulf Breeze Sentinel newspaper using the alias of Mr. X, Mr. Ed, or Jim, out of concern for being ridiculed and to protect his family.
And late that year, he sent one letter as Yusuf al-Islam.
Yeah, definitely wouldn't ridicule a guy who went by Mr. X if we found out who he was. We definitely wouldn't get ridiculed like that either.
Mr. X just sounds like an early, like porn website, like, guy's name.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I'm sure it was. Yeah, I'm sure it was. Mr. X just sound, to me, sounds like a 1930s, like, detective drama. Mr. X is at it again.
James he's also, Bond, you know, villain. Trying to kill Leon Kennedy and Claire Redfield.
Yeah, but at the end, it turns out he's a good guy because the X stands for Christos in the Greek. And that's why Xmas... No, I'm just kidding. Cut.
Walters, though, would admit to being the photographer by 1989. He was submitted to a polygraph test in February of 1988.
By who?
With the examiner concluding that he believed the photos were real.
The fuck? Who? Like an independent?
Walters.
No, I mean, like, who ordered him to have a polygraph?
No, he submitted to one to, like, prove his story. I believe it was through the newspaper or just to, like, prove that he wasn't lying.
Okay.
He claimed to have experienced missing time on three prior occasions, once during a canoe trip, the second time during an apparent nightmare, and the third when he had been driving at night and realized he could no longer see any car or streetlights.
Just darkness.
On that occasion, he claimed to have stepped out of his car and saw a bright light coming toward him, which lifted off the road, and when he got back inside the car and illuminated its interior. So as I was saying, on the third occasion, he claimed that to have stepped out of his car and saw a bright light coming toward him, which lifted off the road when he got back inside the car and illuminated its interior.
Huh.
He reported finding himself next to morning traffic 5 hours later.
Just hanging out on the side of the road.
Just morning traffic, you know?
Cars driving by, blasting MJ and BJ in the morning, shock radios.
MJ and BJ?
Yeah, they were out of Tampa.
Oh,
they
really?
They did, like, prank calls and stuff, yeah.
Ah, I love when they do that. That's the best. Although, I almost crashed my car one time when I was listening to, what's his name? Who the fuck are the assholes on Howard Stern? Sal and the other guy.
Those dickheads, yeah.
Yeah. The other guy. I can't think of his fucking name. He's so good. My favorite was, this was the one I almost pulled my car off the side of the road, was when they called one Chinese restaurant and put an order in, and then had him read it back, and then they put another Chinese restaurant on the line that they had asked to take their order. Mm-hmm. So the Chinese restaurant read off their order to another Chinese restaurant, which kept... And they started arguing about it. The pizza one's good, too. I'll take a pepperoni pizza. Hold the sauce. Hold the cheese. Hold the bread. So you want nothing. God damn.
Under hypnosis, Walter stated... that he discovered that he had been abducted by aliens multiple times in the past.
Hold the abduction.
Is it real? Can you have repressed memories come out under hypnosis?
Repressed memories are largely not true. It's like 99%.
Can you... I'm just going to ask
hypnosis is also...
Can you, under hypnosis, convince somebody to do dumb shit in front of everybody else, like convince, those stage shows?
You can't convince someone who's hypnotized to do things that they wouldn't normally do. They won't do it. It's a known thing. I'm really into magic, so like there's a lot of hypnosis and suggestion stuff with magic, and I watched a couple videos about hypnosis, and you know.
So like the stage shows where they say, hey, jump up and down and act like a chicken and everything else.
Doesn't work like that. No, because you can get somebody to do that, though, because they would do it. So if you're the type of person who would make a chicken noise... at some point in your life, they might be able to get you to do that. But it's not that powerful. Like, it's not as powerful as it looks. Like, they can't convince you, like, I must kill the queen. You know, and you, it's not... It's
yeah,
not naked gun.
Sure candidate
yeah, it's
no.
not naked gun. No. And most hypnosis, I think, is actually really difficult. Like, some people are very resistant to it.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I was just all curious because I know somebody who said that they used hypnosis to quit smoking and it worked. And I was like,
that's a real thing.
Interesting.
No, that's a real thing. That people use hypnosis to stop smoking. And
it was wild. I asked how it was. Apparently, that this guy went, had a couple sessions, and it ended up being that every time he smoked a cigarette, it tasted disgusting to the point that he didn't want to touch it because it was so just horrific.
I don't know a lot about it. I don't know how it works. That would be interesting, though, if that's how it did work, because, yeah, it's kind of weird.
A paranormal investigator, Ray Stanford, focused on the clouds in the background of Walter's photos, initially believing they could not have been taken on November 11th due to incorrect weather information he had received.
Hmm.
After receiving the correct weather data, he conceded that the photos were likely taken on that day, but still believed they were a hoax.
Okay.
Our boy UFO investigator Philip Klass stated that there was, quote unquote, no way the photos were authentic.
No way.
but stated that he had not investigated the Gulf Breeze incident at length, as it was not, quote unquote, genuinely impressive to the public.
Now, why is that?
Yeah, Philip, did you look into this? Nah, it's kind of weak, mid, not down.
Very mid.
Yeah.
Why would this not be impressive to the public, let's just say? Because, like, if I'm not mistaken, the 80s was very big, like, the sci-fi and everything else, and you have the story of this guy who's being chased and immobilized by a blue beam and lifted off the ground. Like, why would people not be interested?
Well, one of the things that that sort of comes up is that there's a lot of similarities between his book that he eventually writes. He does multiple books.
Mm-hmm.
And Whitley Strieber's Communion.
I don't think that's so much it as the fact that he did every interview in a fake Jamaican accent, like a Potswana.
No. Oh.
like a Chet Hanks or an Adrian Brody, you know.
Yeah.
And then when he would walk off set, he would immediately be in speaking like a normal person. You know, so it was only when he was on stage, which I don't think aliens know enough about.
It was
Jamaican
culture. It was very weird too, because he said he hadn't been with a white woman in years, but his wife was white.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah.
which is something Chet Hanks said in an interview.
Oh my god!
He doubled down on it when he got asked about it.
It's like a real life Dave Chappelle, Clayton Bigsby.
I just can hear like Tom Hanks just going, "Oh no," when his fucking son says that, you know.
No, I imagine cameras
Chet.
Click off and he's like not actually being recorded. That dude must have the biggest fucking headache at all times just thinking about his kid.
Well, also he's not really like one of the things about like, you know, he has that reputation for being a nice guy, but he also sent Chet Hanks to one of those like kidnap you like childlike prison
psychological
camp
torture you. Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh wow. Oh, that's. Oh wow, that's like irredeemable to me.
Now he came out in like an interview and said something about it had crossed his mind at some point, but he didn't do it.
Oh, okay. So he didn't actually do it.
No, he did. He did.
He did
one of those. Yeah.
Okay. My bad. I thought I had read in this interview or watched this interview said he had thought about it, but he didn't actually do it.
Yeah, they did. He got like, unless I'm misremembering, but he said about like they did the thing where they like. They come in the middle of the night and they, like, kidnap you, essentially.
That's so fucked up. Because you're, as a child, right, you are now so traumatized that you don't have a safe place to live because this happened to you. Because in your home, you were able to be, quote-unquote, kidnapped, you know what I'm saying? Your parents did nothing to help you. I mean, you're fucking with a human at very base psychological level, like the need for safety, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Robert Nathan of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory stated that, quote unquote, many of these images are double exposure photographs, and that the focus on the object and the buildings nearby seem to be, quote unquote, more sharply focused or fuzzier.
He double exposed. That's all. That's all it was.
He also.
Everyone knows that you single expose. Sorry. ask a millennial what the fuck that means, Steve. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. Well, no, there's some like hipsters who are really into like, you know, old style like film cameras.
I didn't say to ask a camera otaku. I said ask a millennial.
Listen, all you gotta do is remind millennials about disposable cameras and getting their pictures developed at Eckerd.
What's Eckerd?
Holding holding down the thing on it for the flash.
Oh, you hear it like spool up.
We sound suspiciously like boomers now, gentlemen. I'm gonna need this Nathan to stop.
Also, Nathan also said that he had a feeling that there was some kind of cut and paste on some surface of the photos as well.
Uh-oh.
Ed Gray, the mayor of Gulf Breeze, extensively analyzed the photos himself and also concluded they were fake.
Not the mayor. You know his qualifications. Yeah. He's the mayor.
Yeah, he's got a big sash. You know, doesn't want them to close down the beach over over Memorial Day for because of the shark attacks.
There are 11 reasons I should be here.
Now these UFOs, they scare people away from these beaches. That's money. These beaches need to stay open, and we need to shut down this UFO case.
I have ordered in the National Guard. That's actually a way you would do it. If somebody, like, people keep getting zapped up on a beach, send the military out there for a little while, just have them bound in the sky, you know? Just fucking blow shit up. Like fucking Landman, you know?
Steve, you and your Landman.
It is like, I told my wife, like, I'm having trouble with it now. Because it's just a fucking soap opera. My God. Stupid.
UFO researcher Bud Hopkins interviewed Walters several times and believed his claims were genuine, citing the fact that Walters had turned down a $100,000 book deal and passed a polygraph test.
$100,000 just to pass a polygraph, huh?
Optical physicist and ufologist Bruce Maccabee investigated 5 of Walters' Polaroids and stated, "I think there's a good chance it's the real thing." Maccabee instructed Walters to use 2 Polaroid cameras mounted on a beam when photographing in order to triangulate the images for clearer analysis.
Wait. What? He wants him to do what?
You heard him.
To have have 2 cameras ready to mount it on like a beam so they can get it from 2 different angles.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so he's basically saying, like,
he's just playing 5D chess object with his camera system,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, you're gonna have to be like Ernest Goes to Camp.
I got the Olympus
apparatus
on one end of the board.
Arts and crafts.
And okay, remember, there was no Home Depot back then. You had to cut a tree down, you had to plane it. It's the only way you're
gonna
do it.
Don't even get me started on the awl.
I don't know what you guys had down here. We had channel hardware.
Home Depot.
Yeah.
Willie Smith from the UFO information gathering group Unicat reported spotting a support under the UFO in the photos, indicating that the object is a model that was painted.
Oh no.
Maccabee claimed the other eyewitness sightings were more important than the photographs. This is also nearby Eglin Air Force Base, which is one of the largest military installations in the United States.
Mm-hmm. So you think that they would know if something was amiss?
Well, the base's director of public affairs said that there was no record of unusual activity or quote unquote strange radar blips at the time of the alleged sightings. Jerry Brown, then the chief of police of Gulf Breeze, thought that locals were mistaking activity on the base for UFO phenomena, which he blamed on the quote-unquote domino effect of hysteria that began with Walters' photos.
Okay, but, like, would Eglin necessarily pick up a UFO on their radar in the 80s? Was radar that good in the 80s that they would be able to pick up a UFO? Let's just be devil's advocate saying the UFO's real, right?
Well, there are other cases in the past where equipment from military installations has picked up, mm-hmm, like UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
What that is, you know, obviously is, you know, no one knows, but they didn't get anything out of the ordinary.
Gotcha.
After the Sentinel published Walters' photographs, both the paper and the Mutual UFO Network, or MUFON, received dozens of reports of sightings in the Gulf Breeze area.
The Slantinel?
Various reports described an orange glow, orange or blue beams of light, and an oval or oblong craft. One woman reported being awakened at 2 a.m. to find an orange-lit UFO in her yard.
Interesting.
In July of 1988, Fenner McConnell and his wife Shirley claimed to have seen a quote-unquote disc-shaped airplane with no wings flying over water with landing lights shining on their pier.
Fenner McConnell.
Yeah, Fenner McConnell.
I knew what to see. It was a disc-shaped craft.
Got like mutton chops, smoking a pipe. looks like one of like the Irish people they picked up in like Star Trek: The Next Generation from the One Planet. Just walked out of like a British cartoon from like the 19th century.
I knew to saw.
Shirley later recognized the alleged craft from the Sentinel articles.
Oh my God! That's it.
Brenda Polak, a Gulf Breeze councilwoman.
Steve, that is a slur. We don't call people that anymore.
What, God?
a Gulf Breeze councilwoman and acquaintance of Walters reported seeing an orange light along the treetops while driving across the Pensacola Bay Bridge on March 17th, 1988.
Yeah, we can see that shit now. Go to Pensacola.
Yeah.
When she got home to tell her husband, Buddy,
it's called
she
sunset, lady.
Anyway, she got home to tell like her husband, Buddy.
Yes.
That's her husband's name, man. Remember, this is the 80s. This is what people named people in like the 60s. So
it's a fucked up 20s. Name, because yeah. You can't call anybody Buddy, you know? Like in your friend group, because they're all going to think you're talking to Buddy. So you got to say, hey, guy, or friend, you know? And friend sounds vaguely threatening, you know? Hey, friend.
Hey, friend.
Friend sounds like you're about to tell someone, we don't accept those in this town.
Hey, friend, you need to be out of town by sundown, you understand?
It's like,
listen, friend, you better find a mafia man to drive you around. Who later goes on to play Carmine on The Sopranos.
Don't get cunty with me, Chrissy.
No, not Paulie.
That's just my favorite line.
Oh, yeah. Cunty is... He introduced that word into the modern lexicon. Like,
loved it.
I had never heard that word before, and as soon as it happened on Sopranos, we were all saying it.
It was like a... It was a moment, right?
It was a revelation.
Like Chappelle's show. Yeah. Like Chappelle's show had a moment yes. where he was walking around saying, I'm Rick James, bitch. Yeah, there was a moment when he did that. Everybody started saying, cunty.
I've never heard that shit before.
My favorite line of his still is when they're... when he's ranting about gay people. And he's like... He's like sick shit. Black magic shit.
No. He was getting a psychic to like read him this thing, and the psychic was like, "There's a lot of people there around you. They're all dead, like that." And he was like giving him like the generic. He obviously was told that this guy looks like he's in the mafia, you know. Mm-hmm. And the psychic's going on. He's like, "What is this? Who you been talking to?" And then at the end, he yells "effing Q word" and throws a chair. So
yeah,
effing derogatory slang for homosexuals. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what this is? Sick shit, black magic, satanic black magic. Who you been talking to?
But anyways, when she got home to tell her husband Buddy, she learned he had been at Shoreline Park, where he and others were looking at Walter's photographs. When the group left to get hot chocolate, leaving Walters alone at the park, they saw flashes of light and rushed back to find that he had taken Polaroids of a UFO.
Wait a minute. So, Buddy...
How many sodas did they drink?
Park. Buddy is at the park looking with friends, looking at these pictures. Buddy and his friends leave to get hot chocolate, and as soon as they leave, there was flashes of light. And he all of a sudden has Polaroids of a UFO that just landed, right? That's it's always men. I swear to God, man, right after you left, man. that's what it always is.
Brenda denied that Walters was the sort of man who would perpetuate a hoax, and she reported another sighting on January 8th, 1990. Another local official, Santa Rosa County Commissioner John Broxson, claimed that he and several acquaintances saw, quote-unquote, something bright hovering above his home, a parade of lights of different colors and intensity.
Okay.
Art and Mary Hufford claimed to have seen something gray, oval, and silent fly over the treetops that stayed in view for several minutes when they were driving in early November of 1987, recognizing the object in Walter's photographs. Jeff Thompson reported that he and his 12-year-old son watched a 3-foot-wide and 2-foot-high craft for about 10 minutes outside his Tiger Point residence on February 8th, 1989.
He just watched it for 10 minutes?
We mean, there wasn't anything good on TV, so...
Well, he was extremely high, so... I don't know, like, sometimes, you get that right amount of weed in you, and you're just... You're doing what you're doing for an indeterminate amount of time. How long was
that's
sitting
there?
That's
where the lost time comes from.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely exactly where it comes from. I got that one, man. That vape is the worst ever. I'm not taking it again. Spent quite a bit of money on it. I feel like sending it back. I'll be like watching a movie, and the movie will be over, and I'll be like, geez, these credits are already on? How long is this?
just take another drag from the amnesia device.
Fucking nothing happened in that 2 hours. I was just staring at the TV. Everyone thought I was watching it. Nope. Haven't seen a minute.
He approached the craft with a flashlight, and when he was within 30 feet, the top of the craft turned white and made a crackling noise and then just dissipated. Okay. Thompson also stated that he watched a UFO being chased by 2 military jets on the same day as Walter's alleged UFO encounter. A toll booth operator, one Jerry Thompson, no relation to Jeff Thompson, said that he and a group of people watched 13 pink-lighted objects blink in a pattern that he could not identify.
That's Morse code. it's Morse code for go home.
Drink more Ovaltine.
It was like the early days of viral guerrilla marketing.
Oh my god!
Try OK Soda.
It's Morse code for drink Ovaltine.
Residents reported seeing 8 helicopters chasing a UFO on January 8th, 1990, something that the United States Navy denied.
8 helicopters.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So 8 helicopters, you know, the equivalent of 1 Airwolf, decided to...
No, wait, that's Knight Rider. Yeah, Airwolf was... Yeah, that was it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Supporters of Walters, especially members of MUFON, cited the mass sightings as proof that the Gulf Breeze phenomena was genuine. Walter Andrus, who was then MUFON's director, stated in June of 1988 that the Gulf Breeze incident was, quote-unquote, the best case we've ever had. Donald Ware, the group's Florida director, stated, I am convinced the reason one man was given so many photographic opportunities is because the aliens wanted us to see those photos. I mean, they could just, you know, come see everybody else, you know, they don't just need to keep, like, you're, like, harassing this guy.
It's so ridiculous.
Who was Ed Walters? Like, what did he do for a living?
He was a contractor.
Okay, so he wasn't, like, some, like, local, like bar flyer or anything, right?
No, not that I've seen, you know, he wasn't, like, the local town drunk or whatever.
Okay.
He wasn't the Otis.
I just want to make sure that, like, he wasn't like the crazy guy and people being like, no, aliens wanted a homeless guy to show you the fucking alien.
The fuck is an Otis?
He was actually Otis the town drunk from Andy Griffith.
Nah, I never watched Andy Griffith.
Oh, that's why.
But yeah, there was a guy in town.
Now I'm going down to Emmett's to fix Emmett.
He was the town drunk, and he would just like lock himself up in jail when he had too many to drink. Like, just like, sleep it off in the drunk tank.
Oh, that's smart.
And they also had, say he was the Ernest T. Bass of the town. who was like, a crazy guy that lived up in the mountains who would come down and, like, raise hell in Mayberry every now and then.
Jesus, fucking getting a retrospective here.
And that concludes our five-part retrospective on the Andy Griffith Show.
For more, you can watch TV Land.
Yeah, turn into TV
Land. We're voted AARP's best podcast.
If you recognize or remember any of those shows that we just talked about, it's time to schedule your colonoscopy.
That is good advice.
Statistics compiled by Willie Smith stated that MUFON's membership increased.
You gotta let the doctor get up in that ass, Larry. You gotta let him get up in there.
Stated that MUFON's membership had increased fourfold since the publication of the Gulf Reefs case. The Center for UFO Studies, SUFOS, a group founded by astronomer and ufologist J. Allen Hynek, stated that Walter's photos were fake based on the fact that the windows on the crafts were not spaced evenly and because of a waviness in the photos suggesting they were taken near or reflected off water.
I'm going to go look at this guy's photo. It sounds like bullshit.
Okay.
Mark Rodegier and Robert Boyd, also of SUFOS, were informed by friends of Walter's that he was, quote-unquote, a practical joker and prankster who had told people he was going to, quote-unquote, pull off the ultimate prank.
Uh-huh.
These acquaintances also stated several curious parallels between his story and Whitley Strieber's book Communion, which had been published a few months before the first sighting.
So did our boy read the book Communion and just get a great idea?
Yes.
I mean, probably. His, the one cover is one book is kind of boring because it's just the picture of the craft.
Mm-hmm.
But, his second one,
I like that,
which he wrote, is,
it's understated.
It's one of those books that's like, yeah, that's like terrify you as a child like Communion did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, that book.
Yeah. So on June 10th, 1990, Pensacola News Journal reporter Craig Myers published that a model closely resembling the UFO seen in the photos and made up of four plastic foam plates and some drafting paper was found in Walter's former home in Gulf Breeze. Walters refused to take a polygraph test, but signed a sworn statement denying any knowledge of the model UFO. The homeowner who found the model also signed a sworn statement stating he did not know who made it.
I ain't seen it. I don't know who did this.
News Journal photographers experimented with the model and were able to nearly duplicate some of the photos of UFOs printed in Walters' books. The model was 9 inches across, 5 inches deep, and included a blue-colored gel plastic film and a 6-inch orange paper ring, a 3.5-inch long plastic tube, and a 2-inch wide paper ring between the 9-inch plates, with electrical tape at the bottom of the model. On drafting paper were, quote-unquote, carefully drawn and punched-out windows, which encircled two-thirds of the model.
Did anyone, like an investigatory body ever, like, look into this? Like, that's another thing that always grabs me about these UFO fuckers. Like, the FBI doesn't come calling and shut the whole thing down. They're just like, oh, it's fine. Just let them keep going. Distracts them from what we're really doing.
Exactly. Because they're not going to tell you, because especially if it's something entirely harmless.
Well, they admitted, right, that was useful. Like, the UFO shit was useful to the military.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things, too, like, the FBI doesn't really, like, show up for these things because it's not a crime.
No. No, it's not a crime. So, but I would think national security, you know, maybe? I don't know.
You know, the UFOs, you know, they're not moving weight across borders, you know?
I'll tell you what, if it was real, that's when the FBI would show up. You would know that one of these was real when they say, yeah, like, a bunch of dudes from the government, from the alphabet soup agencies, showed up and needed to talk to me at my house, and not, like, a crazy person.
So, on the reverse side of the drafting paper were handwritten dimensions for a house on Jamestown Road, written in, quote-unquote, in what appears to be Ed Walters' handwriting, according to Santa Rosa County building permits, Walters built at least two homes on Jamestown Drive. Which leads further evidence that it was made by him, because it was using, you know, leftover, you know, like, building plans that he had, that has his, like, handwriting all over it. The model was discovered under insulation in the home's attic after Walters and his family had moved out in 1988. The new homeowner did not report its discovery until he was interviewed by a journalist about UFOs. Walters denied any knowledge of the model and claimed that UFO debunkers or the U.S. government had planted it. He later claimed to the News Journal that his wife was told by a former neighbor that a quote-unquote stranger with out-of-state license tags entered the garage, pulled the attic stairs down, entered the attic, and then left suddenly.
Interesting. Yeah, very, very likely to have happened.
Gulf Breeze police stated no break-ins had been reported at Walters' house. I mean, I think one of the things that sort of makes him seem, like, guilty is the fact that, like, he's, like, trying to say, like, oh, no, it was planted, it wasn't me. But I think, like, he should have just leaned into it and said, well, you know, after seeing this craft so often, I tried to, like, you know, make a representation of it to show people.
Yeah, so I can show you guys what it looked like.
Because, you know, he's double exposing all his photos, you know, and it's out of focus, so you can show him what...
This is what it looked like in IRL.
The discovery of the model, though, proved instantly divisive within the UFO community, with Walter's supporters repeating his claim that the model had been planted.
You're a divisive guy, huh? I like divisive, but, you know.
I'm a divisive man honestly, myself.
The entire topic is divisive, you know.
I accept divisive, but I'm a divisive guy myself.
I feel like divisive is academic and just, you know, I don't know.
Now, I was watching Jeopardy earlier tonight, and one of the questions was the answer, what is cilantro? But the woman who answered it said, what is cilantro?
Ooh. I love dumb Jeopardy answers. Anyway, divisive. So, makes sense, because, you know, division, yeah. But, anyway.
Boyd, a former director of MUFON, later said he was forced to leave the group when he expressed doubt in the photos. A News Journal columnist, Mark Curtis, reported that two MUFON investigators who confirmed the hoax were themselves, quote-unquote, literally chased out of MUFON by its remaining true believers.
Womp womp.
Too fucking bad.
Because, you know, like, because it's also, too, that, like, while they're, because, like, these UFO communities, there's also these true believers who, like, believe the most ridiculous things, like Linda Moulton Howe, like, level, like, people. But you also have to think about the fact, too, that because they said that after this case had happened, that their membership had increased like fourfold.
Yeah.
So they had a financial incentive to like say like, oh, no, it's real. It's real.
Of course they did.
Keep paying the dues. They're real.
No, it's absolutely real. We were there. We saw it.
Contrary to claims by his supporters that he had refused money for telling the story, the News Journal reported that Walters had been given a $200,000 book advance and offered $450,000 by the American Broadcasting Company for miniseries rights.
Did they ever make a miniseries out of it?
I don't think so. I think because I think you know this all dropped before they could do it. Mm-hmm. But that's like the beauty of like selling scripts and like selling the optioning rights to things is because even if they don't make it, you still get paid.
Yeah.
The paper also reported that Walters had previously served 18 months in prison for a 1967 forgery and auto theft charge, and he was granted a pardon by Governor Bob Martinez in March of 1990.
Bob, they called him Bob Mart for a reason, bro. He sold it. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even know who that is.
It was Bob Martinez.
Bob Martinez. Bob. You wouldn't even know he's Mexican, you know?
Bob Martinez.
He also made a lot more money off this, because I didn't see anything like backing it up, but I saw when I was looking up information about it, that when he and his wife got divorced, that their combined assets were something like $2 million.
Jesus.
Damn.
And that's like in early 90s, like $2 million.
That's in early 90s scam money, so.
Was it just from book sales?
Probably from books and selling the rights and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
UFO sightings continued at the Pensacola Bay Bridge into 1991, attracting a multitude of skywatchers armed with cameras and microphones.
Mm-hmm.
In a February 1993 News Journal editorial, Curtis revisited the evidence against Walter's accounts, mentioning to a friend that Walter's family, mentioning a friend of the Walter's family, Tommy Smith, had come forward admitting to have quote-unquote witnessed Ed faking the UFO pictures as a practical joke.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is also the, to go back to what I said, Curtis also reported that Walter and his wife had divorced in November of 1992, splitting $2.5 million in assets that Curtis believed came from the hoax.
I mean, still, I mean, $1.25 million is not too bad.
I mean, I've known, like, people who work in the, like, contracting business.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, contractors are, like, notoriously bad with their money.
Oh, no, you don't say. You need to tell me all the contractors that I see driving around town in fucking pickup trucks that cost more than a house that they're making a monthly payment of, like,
$2,500 on? Not all contractors. You're talking about a specific type of contractor, too. Like, but any kind of contractor, yeah, because not all contractors drive trucks. Like, I was a contractor for a little while. And the problem with contracting, too, is that, like, you know, you're an independent contractor. So, like, you're running your own small business, and 90% of people you know cannot do that. So, I don't know why this 10% thinks that somehow that's a good idea, you know? It's really annoying.
For a period, my mother worked for a company that sold supplies to contractors, like building supplies.
So you're talking specifically about developers here, or like actual like building contractors?
Yeah, building contractors, like what Walters was.
My bad.
When I hear the word contractor, that's what I think immediately. It's just building.
And that a lot of them never, like, pay their tabs. I think it's also because, like, Ford is also very, like, scammy and, like, fly-by-night.
You don't say.
Hell yeah.
They would find out when, like, someone would give them tips, like, when the contractors were having, like, cookouts or whatever. So they could just, like, essentially, like, go down there and practically, like, subpoena them, I guess. Get them to pay their bills.
Jesus Christ.
In response to the Gulf Breeze sightings, MUFON held its first annual UFO symposium in nearby Pensacola in 1990, attracting hundreds of attendees. The conference continued for the remainder of the decade. The director for tourism for Gulf Breeze said that the free publicity attracted tourists and UFO sightseers. A local travel agent said she arranged 600 flights for the MUFON conference. Merchants began selling UFO-related goods, which they still do. I saw that there was a sticker that sold, I think, by the city, their official gift shop that says "I want to believe," and it's of a fishing pole holding up the model,
holding up the entire Earth.
MUFON, though, disconnected its hotline for Gulf Breeze in 2000 after sightings had ceased.
That sounds like a shitty t-shirt, by the way, like a fishing pole holding up the Earth, and it just says, "Fishermen, without them, nothing." You know, some stupid shit like that.
One of those fucking shirts.
If you see me running, it's because I got the big one on the line. $1 million idea there, China. Steal it.
Oh, fuck.
While the Gulf Breeze 6 were in the area at about the same time as the conference was taking place, it is not clear that any member of the group of the United States military deserters attended.
Is this the first time you said the Gulf Breeze 6?
Who are the Gulf Breeze 6?
Yeah, that sounds like a dangerous thing to be a member of, you know?
They kind of sounds sexy. I'm not going to lie.
They were a group of soldiers.
Are they fucking hot?
It's the Gulf Breeze 6 tonight at 9 on ABC.
Saying it's the early 90s, so a lot of mustaches and questions.
Oh, shitty fucking shitty ass, like, sweatpants and stuff. Oh, forget it.
The Gulf Breeze 6 sounds like an episode title for Red Shoe Diaries.
But they were a group of soldiers who essentially deserted because it's
for a crime they didn't commit, now they drive around in a van.
What happened was that one of them was like really big into like the occult, and he they started messing around with, I think it was like a Ouija board or something.
Ah, see, and you can't do that. You know, it's dangerous. Mm. You conjure up demons.
But they became convinced that the world was going to end unless they got to a certain like location.
Mm-hmm.
And so they all went like AWOL and deserted, and then they like the military like had an active thing for them, and then when they found them, they found that they were all under this like delusion that they had to get to some location or something before like to stop the world from ending. And they were eventually pardoned because, you know, it was very obvious that they were like mentally ill.
Well, I believe they were pardoned by George. Wait, what year is this?
I think they were. It was in the late 80s, early 90s.
Ah, okay.
So it was around the same time, 1990. So I believe it was H.W. Bush who pardoned them.
Well, I
really felt sympathetic for them.
Clearly they're fucked up in the head there, Barb.
That's the best I can do. Unsolved Mysteries, and later a TV special called UFO Cover-Up Live, featured the Gulf Breeze UFO case.
Bro, I'm sorry, UFO Cover-Up Live?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that is so fucking 1990s, it hurts, bro.
Do you remember the alien autopsy?
Yes! Oh, my God, I remember the alien...
It's like very obviously fake, like the quack in the background just jumping around.
Oh my god! It fucking dude, Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack was the fucking shit. They brought it back, and it just is not the same, man. Like the fog machine with like the trench coat and nothing will ever.
It was okay, but you're missing. Like you needed to dig up Robert Stack first of all. Yeah, I mean that is like the first.
You know they have that. They got a lot of work out of that one clip of like Robert Stack walking with the fog machine going, walking down the steps to his like unfinished basement.
Robert Stack does.
He's like, update.
There's one episode of the whole season. Robert Stack just completely, free balls it and does an entire episode about how he got there, you know? If you know anyone who may have dug up an old actor.
I'll have to find it. There's a clip of him like before, like in between takes, and if I remember correctly, it's him just being like, "Oh, what is this horse shit?"
it's like tell what he was doing. He was like, "Walk over there."
That fucking Walter Matthau doing. Unfortunately, I think it's Kevin Spacey doing the Walter Matthau impression on SNL. The Star Wars auditions.
Obi-Wan.
Destroyed, travel side by side. What the fuck is a Jawa? What kind of picture is this, anyhow?
Speaking of Kevin Spacey, you guys have seen The Usual Suspects, right? From like the early 90s?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So, you remember the whole movie Kevin Spacey is the Gimp. Yeah, Kevin Spacey's the Gimp, right? So, my girlfriend had never seen The Usual Suspects, so I made her watch it. She loves like those kind of like thriller drama, like gotta pay attention kind of movies.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you, the payoff when he walks out and just starts walking normally, she was like, motherfucker.
Yep. It was a good movie, man. Really was.
Dude, it was so good, but then like
everyone
watching it, I realized
kinda
like
felt I don't know about you guys, I kinda knew something was going on with that guy, but I did not expect that.
No, I wasn't expecting that.
Something was
all
gonna happen, but I did not expect that at all.
There was also a couple times that some colorful language was used that it kind of, I was like, yeah, you could tell this was in the early 90s.
Sorry about that, today. Babe. didn't mean to bring that into the house. Sorry, babe.
The dude, Giancarlo Esposito was in that, and I totally forgot about it. And he's like 20-something, and I was just like, holy shit, he was young.
Yep.
Benicio Del Toro can barely speak English. He was like fresh to the United States at that point.
In 1989, eyewitness Shirley McConnell talked about her experience on A Current Affair, Unsolved Mysteries Inside Edition, and A Current Affair filmed more UFO shows in July of 1990. On a 1994 episode of The X-Files, character Fox Mulder mentions the Gulf Breeze UFO photos to his partner, Dana Scully, saying that, quote-unquote, the first time he saw the photos, he knew they were fakes.
Oh, come on, Fox.
You know, Mulder's, you know, shitting on your photos.
If Fox Mulder is shitting on your photos, you definitely got no chance. You're cooked. You done.
I love that fucking meme. Hang it up. That Scully meme where it's like Scully, every time she has to type up a report about some case, Mulder and just says, "Girl, I don't know."
I do like the one meme that someone posted on, I think it was on Twitter, and it was like it was pretty standard stabbing, and he's just like, "Have you heard of the knife alien, Scully?" And he like slams a file down on the table.
Oh man. I just posted in the chat. I love the X-Files. By the way. See, it's so much better than I could say it. Those faces.
Oh, that's awesome. Fucking awesome.
Oh, man.
Is that boys? Is the Gulf Breeze UFO?
That's it? Wait, was it a UFO?
No, it was most likely the model.
It's a fucking model, bro.
Ah, okay. But you know that there are people out there.
I watched him do it.
You know people out there right now. There's some dickhead out there who goes, "It's a conspiracy to convince us that the Gulf wasn't real. It's totally real.
Swinging it air right now.
There were six of them. They got rid of all of them."
So literally, if okay, so for like
they're on Reddit right now.
The three of you that are still listening right now, it looks like two styrofoam plates put together, and then on top of those hamburger, there's an upright styrofoam plate, and then probably what, 2 or 3 inches of paper, circular paper, and then a styrofoam plate sandwiching that with some kind of little nub off the top, and those little crosses and square windows. Like it looks stupid as fuck, but also I can understand back in 1987 if you double expose this. I don't know, I guess you could pass that off.
I mean, yeah. Remember what newspaper pictures used to look like? Like the smaller ones, how like small and pixelated they were?
Yeah.
Like look at that photo Steve just posted. Like that level, but like just in that black and white newspaper ink where it just, it's like you can barely make out any fucking details. Everything looks like, you know, what I assume Alfred Hitchcock's cock looks like. You know, it's just literally black and white. Extreme use of shade and tint gone. You know,
cross hatching.
Yeah, but censored in Japan. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I think 99% of UFO claims are fucking horseshit. That you just either saw a drone or some experimental aircraft or whatever, right? Or you just saw whatever the fuck you thought you saw, right? Because what's the definition of a witness? Someone who thought they saw something. So, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, I would absolutely 1,000,000% say that...
1,000,000%? Oh, shit.
Son. UFOs are absolutely real, right? Like, just because we don't have anything conclusive to say it yet, like...
Oh, no.
You can't deny. Dude, they're absolutely out there.
There's something out there, yeah.
It's real.
They're just jellyfish.
I mean, I agree that there's probably something out there. I don't agree with, like, that it's a flying saucer, you know? It's a collection of drone operators who are alien hybrid lizard people who live in North Jersey, so...
Well, what it's going to be is something that we can't wrap our minds around because it's something that's going to be totally foreign.
Summer breeze makes me
notice every time you tell someone to describe the alien that abducted them, it always is a very humanoid alien. It always has two eyes, a nose, that's a mouth.
There's a comedian that does a bit about that. I can't remember who it is.
Well, I mean, like, what I'm saying is, like, you'll know it's real when the person says, "I can't explain what it was. It was just, like, you know, whatever."
It's going to be, like, the oddest Doctor Who villain, like, ever. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Gerklak. He's a gel-based life form that speaks in colors, right?
Yeah, that's, you know? Yeah.
It's like, okay. Yeah. Which actually makes sense, because if you want to get a lot of information across, use light, right? It's fast.
Right.
Yeah.
But people are like, "Oh, yeah, no, the alien had two legs, two arms." They always describe it as basically a human, just it looks different.
There's an argument about evolution that like, kind of goes down that line. That, like, in the physical reality that we have right now, like, unless barring any kind of crazy phenomenon where it interacts with, like, matter at some other level, that, like, that we are an optimal form,
mm-hmm.
given our gravity.
I mean, for human beings and for the planet Earth, yeah, of course.
But even if you look at animals and like lizards and stuff like that, what is it? It's like head, body, arms, feet, right? Or like whatever. They could all be the same, but you know, it's an interesting thing, a combination of things. I think the aliens are here. I think they're fucking dolphins. Been saying it for years. Dolphins are super fucking smart, dude.
Oh god!
Do you have that one friend who always like can't stop talking about
octopuses? Octopi?
I think it's octopuses.
I wanted a pet octopus, and somebody was like, "No," because dude, even if like you lock the tank like with a screen and a lid, they can still get out. And I'm like, "How the fuck? You put a lock, how?" And they're like, "I'm telling you." And then I like looked it up. Yep, they can somehow. I don't know, man.
We're still boiling lobsters in 2025. No. You know, it's like, what the fuck? All right. Anyway, on that note, I'm going to go to Red Lobster.
Steve, I'm sorry.
I'm going to go in the back and watch them cook it. They're going to have to freeze it. I want to see them freeze it.
I mean, I think the nearest one's in Melbourne.
What, Red Lobster?
Yeah.
Nah, I think there's one in Waterford still.
Did that one not close?
No, that one didn't close. I think it was one of the few that didn't. Yeah, it didn't close. It's open for 30 more minutes. If I get over there, I get some fucking biscuits.
Get in. All right.
Later.
Later.
Bye.